Over the last season, God has blessed us with a number of people in our congregation who he is slowly leading to come and teach and lead with us. And as we develop new leaders in our church, we want to give them places to practice the gifts they're given, places to grow, places to fail, places to pick up again and try one more time. And it is my honor to invite Virginia to the stage. She's going to preach for us today. And I am excited to hear what God has put on your heart for us. So can we pray for her before she starts?
Thank you.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for Virginia, for the blessing she and her family are to our church family, that she has led in so many different ways, not just from the stage on a pulpit. So today, God, bless her words, anoint her lips, have your Holy Spirit speak through her. Give her the spiritual anointing and gift to lead us in your direction, to hear what your word and what you have to say for us today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
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 Before I get started, I just wanted to say happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful, beautiful mothers out there. I thought I should say that since my sermon absolutely has nothing to do with Mother's Day. So they were driving out to Edmonton. David asked if I would preach this Sunday, and I told him I had to take some time to pray about it. And then I really felt the Holy Spirit saying yes. Not really because I wanted to, but since I've been like an older teen, I've had different prophetic words saying, you're going to share God's word, you're going to preach, you're going to go out and share the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so oftentimes at night, I'll have these dreams where I'm preaching to these crowds and these groups, and then sometimes I'll just feel like this burning inside of me, this message that I have to share. So Tim's had a lot of these things like shared with him. I'm like, guess what? Last night, God showed me, and he's like, says what? Because he really has no choice. He's a very captive audience, right? So I feel a bit nervous, yes, coming up here, but I also just feel excited, just as in like one stepping stone in what God has for me in the future and is calling me to do. So I think I see a few people here that are new, and we do sermons a little bit different here in this church. What we do is just so that we can get used to talking with other people about Christ and our testimony and our message, so that in the church we're empowered and equipped, so that when we go out and talk to our neighbors, our friends, and other people like that, we've already had practice. So to kind of grow in that in our church, what we do, and I also find it helps us grow closer in fellowship, is we break into groups of about 5, 6, 7 people. You can move your chairs around if you want, or just turn around to the people that are around you, and we have a discussion question. The first one is kind of just more a little bit like getting to know each other, just connecting, and then the last one, then the sermon gets shared, and then there'll be the last question that's related to kind of just go into a little bit deeper about the sermon, and an opportunity at the end really encourage you to pray with one another if anybody has prayer requests or what the sermon was about. And then at the last question, take as long as you need to pray and connect with one another. And the first question, though, there is a time limit, because otherwise I think some chatty people like me could be even an hour, and then where would we be, right? So my sermon today is called Who Are We? And the first discussion question that you can get into groups and discuss is, how would you describe yourself to somebody if they never saw or met you before? All right, well, I know most of you aren't new and you know how to get into groups, so. Is it on? Okay, so like I said, I know you could probably talk for an hour. That's great. But to get back, so just really quick to describe myself, if I had to describe myself, my husband Tim and I have been coming here to Three Corners Church for about 3 years, and before that we came from New Brunswick, where we lived for 15 years, though I did grow up in BC, and we have 7 children of our own from 5 months to 16 years, 5 boys and a girl. We're also fostering 2 girls right now, so we have a very full house, and most of the children I'm homeschooling. I like to do things and be connected with people. My husband and I and our family are quite blessed to be a part of this church. And Yeah, I just last Sunday actually had my 40th birthday, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to embrace that. This is the best decade yet. I just feel a lot of excitement for what God has for me, for us. And over the last while, actually quite a while, I've been just spending a lot of time in prayer and just reading the scriptures and just like, who are we as a church? Who are we as Christians? Because I think a lot of the time there can be feelings like we feel like we're just limping along. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm doing my best. But, you know, oftentimes there's this feeling like, you know, I'm missing the mark somehow, or am I even on the right path, or what kind of is the difference with being Christians versus, you know, not Christians? Should I try harder? And yeah, on our own, entirely aside from Christ, it's right. We're all sinners. We're worthless. We're nothing. We're liars. We're even unable in our own strength whatsoever to please God. And the scriptures even say in Romans 3:10 that there's not even one righteous out of the entire world. There's not one righteous. But that's the key difference that we have as Christians is Christ. Because in Christ, not in anything that we do, but in Christ, we're redeemed, we're saved, we're set free, we're dearly loved, we're healed, we're delivered, we're equipped with everything that we need to live out here in victory on this earth for Christ. And we have the Spirit of God himself that lives in us. I just want to look in that a little bit because I think that's the key difference is if you have somebody that is just living poor as a peasant, they're like almost like, oh, can I barely make it to my next meal? I'm just struggling along. And then somebody comes up and they're like, actually, you're an heir to the throne. You're actually a prince in the castle. Like, come. Now, just by being the son of the king, they have their identity. It's not that they did anything to get that identity. It's just who they are. And then the king is like, here's everything you need to be equipped to be the next king. So it's not in our own strength that we've done anything to equip ourselves or to give ourselves any merit, but it's that Christ, that in Christ, he's given us everything as our identity for everything that we need to live for him. And I think that's the key difference for living and standing strong and living victorious for Christ is realizing who we are in him and then being filled and strengthened and transformed by his Spirit that's in each one of us. Because even this in the song that we're singing today during worship, I thought that it was kind of cool. We were singing, I am who you say I am. And these are just a few verses that I just wanted to share, but this isn't even the beginning. I just encourage you to look at your scriptures and read, especially in the New Testament, who does God say in the scriptures that we as Christians are? So here's only a few examples. This just really is like touches the top of the iceberg. But Titus 2:14 says, Jesus Christ gave himself to us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself, clean a people for himself that are his very own. So even in right there, we see that we're redeemed. You're redeemed. You're purified and washed clean by Christ. So you are clean, not you're getting cleaned. You might be cleaned. Possibly I'm clean. No, you are purified. You are clean in Christ. You are his people. If you're in Christ, you're his son or his daughter. It even goes as far to say that in Hebrews 18, he says, not only have our sins been forgiven, but I will remember their sins no more. So our identity isn't, I'm struggling, has God forgiven me, I better apologize again. But no, in Christ, because of what he did, your sins are forgiven. So much so that God himself says, I don't remember them anymore. I've removed your sins as far as the east from the west is. Colossians 3:12 says that we belong to God and we're fully and dearly loved by him. Malachi 3:17, I love this verse because it goes even further and it says that you are God's treasured possession. And we all know that in Christ that we have eternal life. But not only who we are, our identity, who we are in Christ, but that we have his very own Spirit that lives in us. If you have turned to Christ and been saved, and you're a Christian, the Spirit of God himself lives in you. Romans 8:11 actually says that, but the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, and it was the work of the Holy Spirit through him that did that. That same Spirit lives and dwells inside of you. And Jesus said in John 16:13 that the Spirit of God in you will guide you in all truth and will teach you and will equip you with God's words in you. So God, the Spirit of God in you will show you truth, will give you the discernment that you need, will teach you and will speak God's words to you. The Holy Spirit equips us to do what it is that God has created us and called us to do. And of course, the Spirit confirms that we're loved by God. Galatians 9:16 says the Spirit confirms that we're God's children. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power and boldness to be God's witnesses here on earth that we're called to do. We read that in Acts 1:8. And what we're called to do is to be God's witnesses here on earth and to spread the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, as Christians, we're called to be ministers of the gospel, ambassadors for Christ. So we're no longer an old creation, and that's the key difference. We're not struggling to improve the old version. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we're no longer our old selves, but a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. It's entirely set aside, and the new has come. We're entirely a new creation in Christ. So in him, we're called and created and empowered to be an active part of advancing God's kingdom here on earth, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and when you read the Great Commission, even to the ends of the earth. So the time is really short. I think we see that. We've seen that over the last 2 years. And the need for Christ is really great, and there's a hunger out there. So let us not get caught up in struggling with lies. Yeah, sometimes our feelings and thoughts can be fickle. We might feel, okay, I'm worthless. Okay, I'm not good enough. Okay, I'm not really fully forgiven. Am I really a child of God? All these questions, and that's okay. God's big enough to handle our doubts and our feelings of inadequacies. But what the truth is, because those are just lies. So even if we're struggling with them, and that's valid, no, God's not putting you down for that. He can handle any doubts that you might have, any struggles that you have. God is big enough to handle it. But the truth is who God says we are. And God says that he has given us everything that we need to live for him here in this world and be part of spreading the gospel here in this world. I just read some of those things. And again, go to the scriptures and seek them out. See who God says you are, because that's the truth. Again, not the lies of this world, not the lies you were told maybe growing up, not the lies that you tell yourself or things, you know, that broken down, again, that you're not good enough. And yes, in our own strength, and that's what keeps us from pride, we aren't good enough. But because we're a new creation in Christ for everything that he did on the cross, we are good enough because Christ made us good enough for God. And if we're good enough for God, then who are we to say, I'm not good enough? And we're good enough for God because of his sacrifice, what he accomplished on the cross. And we're empowered to live for him because we have his same Spirit living in us. So let us be continually filled and transformed by the Holy Spirit of the living God, who gives us everything that we need to actually walk in step with him, to hear his voice, to walk in obedience to what he is that he's calling you to do. I mean, life can be hard. I can think of a few of my own situations. So I mean, even sometimes currently, honestly, fostering, having 7 kids, just everything that's going on, there's a lot going on in my life. Sometimes it's just like, I honestly just don't want to do this. But then I'm like, I know that's what God's called me to do. And I know that when I just go to him, that I just rest in him, that he gives me everything that I need to do what he's called me to do. Not in my own strength to wear myself out to a frazzle, but when I come to him and I'm in him, I'm aware of his Spirit in me and he gives me everything that I need. Which includes the promises that we will have peace that passes understanding. We will have the joy of the Lord. We will be equipped and have everything that we do need to live for him and what he's called us to do. And, I mean, one of the biggest, sometimes, and I think often, like what I have day to day, it's just that strong but so subtle presence of his Spirit that just equips me for everything that I need to do. And other times, it can be more dramatic, for lack of better words, but that we have everything in him. When I was 17, I grew up in a Christian home, but when I was 17, I just had some things I was significantly struggling with, and it just got to the point where I asked myself, is it actually even worth living in this world? Is this what I want? Where's the hope? Where's anything? And I just really was seeking for answers and trying to grasp like anywhere that I could. So I went to this one worship event one time. I'm like, fine, I'll go. I'm just going to give God one last chance. I don't know if I would give another chance. So maybe it wasn't a last chance. But that was just, I was like, everything is just too much. I just even can't handle life anymore. It's too much. I just feel completely worthless. Just so weighed down. And so I went and I'm like, Jesus, if you're real, show me that you're real. And in that hot, dusty field, over the next couple hours, I felt an overwhelming presence and sense of his love. And it's like he came and washed me clean. I saw him in a vision and heard that he loved me, and that totally changed my life around. So since then, I'm like, regardless of how hard things are, I'm going to live and walk for you. And I've gone through some tremendously difficult times in my life, and not once have I seen that he's failed me. And any time that I've talked to people that walk along with Christ, when they look back in the circumstances, not once do they see that God has failed them. And I think one of the most biggest promises in this, not the biggest, but like the one that's repeated the most in the scripture, is the promise where God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, that he's always there with you. But I think that we're coming into a season where it's time to really embrace and believe who it is that God says that we are. Embrace the identity that he's given it to us. Because I think that he's calling us to times where if we want to be part of it, he will fully equip us to be part of what he's going to do in this world. And I really believe that there is a revival. There is a move of the Holy Spirit coming where people are going to come to Christ. Where Jesus looked out and said, the harvest, you know, is plentiful. The problem right now, actually, is that there's lack of workers. And God's calling anybody in any capacity that wants to be equipped by his Holy Spirit and to go and do that, to do that. And what I'm telling you is it's not like Apostle Paul or all these amazing super Christians. It's not like they were, oh, God created like almost some superhuman and then he used them. No, they were ordinary people like you and me. And the difference was, is that they believed who God said that they were. Because who God said that Paul was, who God said that Mother Teresa was, who God said David Livingston was, the early disciples, God also says we are. And the same spirit that was in them is in us. So there's no difference. And I think that God's calling the church to a time to be equipped, to believe what he says, not the lies of the world that'll beat you down and push you down till there's nothing left of you. And we can see that. I'm sure everyone in this room has heard lies. You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You're this, you're that. And all it does is push you down. Even lies about God himself. God doesn't really love you. You're really not good enough for God. How can he really forgive you for that? You better really work out your salvation. All those things are not lies. God says in Christ that you are fully redeemed, fully chosen, fully loved, and fully equipped by his Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And sometimes they're extreme examples, but for me, they're super encouraging because I know that even in the most extreme example, that Christ is with me, not just with me or will be with me in the most extreme circumstances, but will equip me to the fullness of everything I need to get through it. I heard this story once, and I just love this story, that in the Middle Ages, there was, you know, when the Reformation was happening, the church was spreading like wildfire, people were coming to Christ, the Bible was translated into English, and, you know, that was the idea of like saved by faith alone. It wasn't that you had to go to the priest and receive forgiveness for your sins, but the idea that you could be forgiven directly through Christ in faith in him. Anyway, at the same time, on the heels of that was the Inquisition, where they were sending people out and they were burning people at the stake because they're like, you're a heretic for believing that you can come to Christ on your own faith. And so there was this small town in one of the countries in Europe, I don't even remember where, and some people came to Christ, and the church was very new, and the church was only like a month old in its faith when the Inquisition came to that town, and they captured some of the leaders, and they're like, we're going to burn you at the stake, we're just going to get rid of what is going on here, this false doctrine, this idea that God can forgive you, and that you can come to God, before God directly on your own and be saved by faith through him. So this one woman was going to be burned at the stake. And they said to her, if the Holy Spirit gives you what you need to get through that, clap your hands, and then we'll know that he's with you till the end, that he didn't abandon you, and that will encourage all of us to know that even when we're killed, that we can make it through. So she was tied up, and the fire burned her so much, the ropes were burned through. She, like, looked black. And then above her hands, she raised and clapped her hands three times, and the church knew that even in those moments, that the Holy Spirit was with her and so close that not only could she endure it, but that she could rise a testimony victoriously through it. And then the church, the whole town basically came to Christ. And as we know, when we, those of us that have read about it, you know, the Reformation, it just spread throughout all of Europe and into the world. And I see even the when Paul, you know, he believed he was doing the right thing on his own strength. And this is the danger, even, I'm sure none of you are going to go as bad as Paul did. But when we try to do things on our own strength, it doesn't really amount to anything or can even be harmful. Paul genuinely believed that what, before he encountered Jesus, that what he was doing was the right thing. And he was throwing Christians in church. He was even murdering some of them. And then Jesus Christ appeared to him, and Ananias came and prayed for him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he went on to, you know, basically the Holy Spirit used him through him to establish a lot of early churches all throughout Asia Minor and in the regions. And we even see with the apostles, sure, they spent 3 years with Jesus, and we think that would be great, but when did the apostles really change, the 12 disciples and those people? When the Holy Spirit came upon them. Before that, after Jesus died, they actually denied him, they ran away, they went and locked themselves and were hiding in a room. And then the Holy Spirit fell upon him, and all of a sudden they're like out in the streets preaching the gospel to hundreds of people with a boldness and with a courage that came directly from the Holy Spirit. So what we're called to do isn't struggling along in our own strength. It's nothing to do about us, but it's all about who the Holy Spirit is in you and who God says you are and what he's equipped and called you to do for his glory. And I found this verse, this quote that I really like. It says, our identity in Christ is not contingent on what we do, but on what Christ did. And that the freedom and the forgiveness and the identity and the new life that you possess through Jesus Christ is not affected in any way by your daily performance. It's not, the struggle isn't, can I make myself good enough? Or if I just read the Bible enough even? Or if I just pray enough? Of course, those are all go hand in hand with a healthy spiritual walk. But those aren't what please God. And that's not what makes you equipped to walk out what God's called to do. But it's his Spirit in you. And this is something that I really struggled with for a few years. Like, I believed in God. God didn't save us to live comfortably. He saved us to have an intimate relationship with us, that we might know him and he would know us, and that we could live victorious through him and spread the gospel through him by his Spirit. But I struggled a lot, especially about 10 years ago, with this idea of, okay, did I just do my devotions today? Have I just asked forgiveness for the sin over and over again? And it's like, surely the Holy Spirit showed me that God's not about just these little almost games that we get into our head. It's not like God's sitting there on a chair and he's like, okay, Danielle, I'm pleased with you today. Oh, you did something? Oh, you apologized? I'm good with you again. No, he's saying that in Christ, you're fully loved, fully purified, fully cleaned, and fully equipped to do what he's called to do, because when he died on the cross, he accomplished it all. Remember, he cried out, it is finished? Hebrews tells us that on the cross, I think it's in Hebrews 10, that on the cross, his sacrifice was enough to cover all sins for all people for all time. Done, done, it's done. And so in his great love, it was on the cross that Christ secured for us our identity in him. The right to it all, the gift of his Spirit. And again, not anything because of what we did, but everything because of what he did. So Christ living in you isn't a feeling. Having Christ live through you is about knowing who you are and being yourself, who God created you to be. So that's your identity. That's who you are. Just like the son of a king is a prince, whether or not he believes it in his head. If some prince is like, I just don't feel like a prince, well, that's ridiculous. His father's the king, so of course he's a prince. Your father, God, is the king. He sent in his great love his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to shed his own blood, to redeem you, because he loved you so much, and he knew no matter what, on your own merit, you couldn't do that. So he shed his blood, and then he rose again, conquering death in the grave, and rose victoriously. And through that gift and what he accomplished on the cross, you, when you come to him and accept him, are for all time, your sins are forgiven. You're fully clean. You're fully and dearly loved. You're sons and daughters of the Most High. And that is your identity, not based on anything that you can do to earn, but because that's what Christ did for you. And even a step further with that, he's placed his very own spirit in you to equip you and strengthen you to do whatever it is that he's called you to do here on the earth. And he is calling us as his church to rise up, to come together, to stand strong, to stand firm so that we can reach out to the world who desperately needs us with the message of Christ's salvation and his love and his redemption. And I just, as I kind of go to wrapping this up, this is just one simple message, but my prayer would just be that your hearts, that the Holy Spirit would show you who you are in him, and that we would grasp a hold of that truth so that we could move beyond just struggling in our own struggles, but we could stand firm in the truth of knowing who we are in Christ and being empowered by his Holy Spirit, so that as a believer, as a body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, we could go beyond just ourselves and reaching out again to this world that we're called to reach out to with the gospel. And so if there's anybody here right now that hasn't come to Christ and hasn't given themselves to them, Jesus himself says in Revelation 3:20, he says, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at your heart and knock. And if anybody hears this and opens it, I will come in. So if any of you today here don't know Christ, just invite him in. That's all it takes. He does the rest. It was all accomplished on the cross. Just come to him. Or if you're not sure what to do or you're uncertain, after church, come talk to me or to Pastor David or Lisa or somebody even in your group and give your life to Christ, because that's the beginning of this amazing, wonderful journey that we're called on to walk with him. And what I'd like to do here in just a moment after, I just want to pray for us, and then you can get back into your groups. And what I want you to discuss in your groups is, who does God say that you are? And then just really, I know we say this every week to pray for each other, but really take some time to pray for one another, that the Holy Spirit will just seal and solidify on your heart that you will know that you're a son and daughter of God, that you will know who you are in him. Because the Holy Spirit himself also speaks to us and also teaches us. It's not just hearing who's ever standing at the front teaching you, but the Holy Spirit can teach and guide and direct each one of you. And I'm just going to close in prayer, and then you can get in your groups again and discuss and just pray for one another. God, we just stand here right now, a group of people, and on our own, there might not be a lot, but you see so much. You see a people that you died for, that you sent your son to shed his very own blood for, and that you have saved us, and that you have redeemed us, and you call us your own. And then you sent your spirit to live and dwell inside of each one of us. And Jesus Christ, I just pray now that I and my brothers and sisters here, that we would understand even deeper what it means to belong to you, that we would stand strong in our identity about who you say that we are, and that we wouldn't be blinded or brainwashed by the lies of the world and the lies of the devil. In fact, I just speak against and bind and cast down in the name of Jesus Christ anyone who's struggling and believing and caught up in the lies, that we would know who we are in you, that we would be set free in our minds, in our spirits, in our hearts, in our lives. And I thank you that you've given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that your spirit would just fall upon us to an even greater measure, and that we would be equipped and fully full with your spirit to go out and do what it is that you've called each one of us to do. Because I know as a church that you've called us to bigger and more things for your glory. And we just said, here we are, God. Fill us with your spirit and send us to where it is that whatever you want us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.